Genesis 19, verse 1. Page 28 in your Scofield Reference Bible, Genesis 19, verse 1. And there came two angels to Sodom at even, and Lot sat in the gate of Sodom, and Lot, seeing them, rose up to meet them, and he bowed himself with his face toward the ground. And he said, Behold, now, my lords, turn in, I pray you, into your servant's house, and tarry all night, and wash your feet, and ye shall rise up early and go on your ways. And they said, Nay, but we will abide in the street all night. And he pressed upon them greatly, and they turned in unto him, and entered into his house, and he made them a feast, and did bake unleavened bread, and they did eat. But before they lay down, the men of the city, even the men of Sodom, compassed the house round, both old and young, all the people from every quarter. And they called unto Lot, and said unto him, Where are the men which came in to thee this night? Bring them out unto us, that we may know them. And Lot went out at the door unto them, and shut the door after him, and said, I pray you, brethren, do not so wickedly. Behold, now I have two daughters, which have not known man. Let me, I pray you, bring them out unto you, and do ye to them as is good in your eyes. Only unto these men do nothing. For therefore came they under the shadow of my roof. And they said, Stand back. And they said again, This one fellow came in to sojourn, and he will needs be a judge. Now will we deal worse with thee than with them. And they pressed sore upon the man, even Lot, and came near to break the door. But the men put forth their hand and pulled Lot into the house to them, and shut to the door. And they smote the men that were at the door of the house with blindness, both small and great, so that they wearied themselves to find the door. And the men said unto Lot, Hast thou here any besides son-in-law, and thy sons, and thy daughters, and whatsoever thou hast in the city? Bring them out of this place, for we will destroy this place, because the cry of them is waxen great before the face of the Lord. And the Lord hath sent us to destroy it. And Lot went out and spake unto his sons-in-law, which married his daughters, and said, Up, get you out of this place, for the Lord will destroy this city. But he seemed as one that mocked unto his sons-in-law. And when the morning rose, then the angels hastened Lot, saying, Arise, take thy wife and thy two daughters, which are here, lest thou be consumed in the iniquity of the city. And while he lingered, the men laid hold upon his hand, and upon the hand of his wife, and upon the hand of his two daughters, the Lord being merciful unto him, and they brought him forth and set him without the city. And it came to pass, when they had brought them forth abroad, that he said, Escape for thy life, look not behind thee, neither stay thou in all the plain. Escape to the mountains, lest thou be consumed. And you know the rest of the story there, how that as soon as they got outside of the condemned area, outside the city, then God rained fire and brimstone and overthrew all those cities and all the area of the plains there and completely destroyed them. Let's bow our heads, please, and ask God to bless his word of our hearts today. Father, we thank you for these good songs that's blessed our hearts. Today, thank you for the good word of God that was taught in our Sunday school classes. And now, Lord, bless this portion of thy word to our hearts today. And may we realize that, Lord, that we've got to come out of the world. And the world is under the condemnation. And may we come out and, Lord, live separate from this evil world system, I pray. And Holy Spirit of God, drive home the message from this portion of your word to our hearts today, that we might know the blessing of God in our lives, and help Christians, Lord, to decide the day they're going to live separate unto the Lord, and For someone here today without Jesus, may they decide, Lord, to come down this aisle, receive Jesus, and leave here a child of God on their way to heaven. Now, Lord, anoint me and help me as I preach now. May the Lord Jesus be glorified and be magnified in this service. Bless everything that goes on these grounds. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. As you can see from this passage of Scripture, Sodom was probably the most vile, wicked sinner, a city that this world has ever known. These two angels came to visit Lot, and he fed them. They didn't want to go in his house. They knew that destruction was coming to this city, but he encouraged them, and so they did go into his house, and he made them a feast and fed them. And then before they retired for the evening, look at what verses 4 and 5 said. But before they lay down, the men of the city, even the men of Sodom, compassed the house around, both old and young, all the people from every quarter. And they called unto Lot and said unto him, where are the men which came in to thee this night? Bring them out unto us, that we may know them. It says all the men of Sodom, the old and the young men, young fellows, older men, they all come demanding that Lot bring those two visiting men out so they may have homosexual relations with them. And not only the men and the boys were in that crowd that was surrounding Lot's house in this mob that had assembled there, but the Bible here plainly says that all the people from every quarter, so there were probably women in two that were in that crowd. So this entire city was made up almost entirely of lesbians and queers. And God sent these two angels carrying the entire city's death warrant. Sodom and Gomorrah and all the surrounding countryside would be destroyed by fire and brimstone as soon as the sun would come up on the morrow. The Bible tells us in 2 Peter 2, 7 and 8 that Lot, and this is a conundrum to me. I can never understand this, but I can't understand a born-again Christian being in the world anyway. But here is Lot. The Bible calls him in 2 Peter 2, just Lot. In verse 7, 2 Peter 2, 8 calls him righteous. And even though Lot was a righteous, just person, we see the sad spectacle of a saved man. Lot was saved. He was just in God's sight. He was saved. And so we see this sad spectacle of a saved man getting out of God's will, getting locked into this present evil world system and winding up a disgrace. He's one of the saddest stories in the Word of God. Now the trouble began in Genesis 13. When the herdsmen of Lot and the herdsmen of Abraham had strife. And Abraham was a goodly man. And he said, Lot, we're kinfolks. We're relatives. This shouldn't be. He said, now, Lot, you go to the right hand. And if you go to the right hand with your herdsmen, I'll go to the left. He said, hey, either way is okay with me. If you want to go to the left, I'll go to the right. And so Genesis 13:10 says, Lot, in making his decision, lifted up his eyes and beheld. He looked at the well-watered plains. And he chose to go down into those well-watered plains, even though God's word is very plain in saying the men of Sodom there were wicked and sinners before the Lord exceedingly. So Lot's priorities were wrong in making this choice. He looked down from the highlands there where he was standing with Abraham. He looked on those wonderful plains and well-watered plains, and the temptation was just too great, and he couldn't resist the temptation. And even though it would throw him right in the middle of exceedingly wicked sinners in God's sight. Now, many a man has lost his family. to the world, the flesh, and the devil, because he did not make a decision on what was best for himself and for his family spiritually. Folks, we need to make decisions on the best, on the basis of the spiritual, not the material. Jesus said in Matthew 6:33, but seek ye first the kingdom of God. Well, to put the Lord first, and spiritual things first, and holy living first. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Not only did Lot look at Sodom, but he took his family down there and lived in wicked Sodom. Genesis 13:12 tells us Lot dwelled in the cities of the plains and pitched his tent toward Sodom. You almost want to cry out, Lot! You're a saved man. Lot, hey Lot, you ought not take your family down there to Sodom. Lot, that's a wicked city. Lot, don't do it. Don't do it. Don't go down to Sodom. You feel like just yelling and saying, Lot, don't do it. Well, he did. And after his family had lived there a few months or a few years maybe, one day God sent two angels. He said, go down and tell Lot to get out. That Sodom was going to go up in smoke before the dew dries on tomorrow. Now when the angels arrived in Sodom, where did they find old Lot? Look at verse 1. And there came two angels to Sodom at even. And where did they find Lot? And Lot sat in the gate of Sodom. Now, there's two interpretations on this. First of all, over in Schofield Reference Bible Center, column reference F there, Lot was a great man, it says, in a place devoted to judgment. And they accused him of, he's made himself a judge. So many think maybe that Lot had got involved in politics and become a great man there, and maybe he's on the city council or maybe a judge sitting at the gate. That's a sign that he had great influence in the town. But then others think that this means that old Lot had just gotten buddy-buddy with the Sodomites, and he was now a part of them and did not oppose their ungodliness. And Lot talked now to these two angels, and he finally persuaded them to go home with him. And later that night, the word got around town, and hundreds and maybe thousands of those homosexuals gathered outside of Lot's door, and they demanded that Lot hand over these two men so they could abuse them sexually. And they were about to beat the door down, and the angels pulled Lot inside and smote the bunch of homosexuals, bunch of queers with blindness. Then these two angels said, Lot, get your family and get them out of town. We're going to destroy this place because of their great sin. And they had to say, hurry up, Lot. Hurry up, Lot. Get the lead out, Lot. Come on. If you don't get out, Lot, you're going to be destroyed with this city. Then look at verse 16. And this is what I really want to emphasize this morning here in verse 16. And while he lingered, that's the message I want to deliver to you this morning. And while he lingered, the men laid hold upon his hand and upon the hand of his wife and upon the hand of his two daughters, the Lord being merciful unto him, and they brought him forth and set him without the city. Lot was, by this time, Lot had settled in, had bogged in down in Sodom, and he had fallen in love with this city and the people of the city, and the angels had to take Mr. Lot and Mrs. Lot and their two daughters and literally pull them out of town. Now, Lot was saved. Keep in mind, now, Lot was saved. He was a just man. A righteous man. He was a child of God. That meant he's been born again. Somehow Lot was saved by grace through faith. His uncle Abraham was a friend of God. Lot had a spiritual heritage. And Lot had seen miracles. And he knew the promises God made to Abraham. And here God sends Lot a personal message by two angels. Get out of town. Sodom will be destroyed when the sun comes up tomorrow. And yet here in verse 16, it says, he lingered. He lingered. That's unbelievable, isn't it? But, you know, Lot is a picture of many of us today. Many of us sitting here this morning, it could be said of us, we lingered. We linger many times when we know the will of God and don't do it. We linger knowing the will of God. And then folks all around us going to hell, what do? We just linger. We linger. Our members of our families are lost. Sons and daughters and brothers and sisters and husbands and wives and relatives. And what do? We're unconcerned. We linger. We're lingering. And they're right on the brink of destruction. We ought to spend time every day. Folks, there's nothing I can do that would be greater than to encourage you to get in the Word of God every day and get on your knees and pray. Get on your face every day and pray. But what do? We're lingering, aren't we? We're lingering before the boob tube. We're lingering in the newspaper. We're lingering at the ball games. We're lingering out having a good time. And we just don't have time for the Word of God. And we don't have time for prayer. So Lot lingered, yes. I can't understand it. I believe I'd have been catching the next bus out of there. Next train, next plane out of there. But old Lot lingered. But let's not be too hard on Lot, because I'm afraid that we do the same thing a lot. We have the same philosophy. But this morning, I want us just to look at some possible reasons that Lot lingered down in Sodom. Now, my message is going to be different today than it was last Sunday. Last Sunday, God gave me a message. If you're going through trouble and you don't see your way clear, just trust in God and He'll bring you through. And that's right. But now my message today is, come out of the world. Come out of the world. There's nothing but death and destruction connected to this world system. That's a little bit different today, but they're both good messages, and they're both messages you need to hear. I had a message for you last Sunday, and I've got a message for you this morning. A lot of people come and said last Sunday, oh, that was for me. I got a message for everybody here this morning. Whether you like it or not. You may not come this morning and tell me that you got a lot out of the message. But I got a message for you, and I got a message for Gene Lancer today. And you just hang on for the ride today. It's not going to be sweet and nice and fun today, but it's going to be something. Listen, we've come to meeting, and I want to help you spiritually. You get mad and you can go to another church, that's okay. I hope you don't. But if you'll hang with me, I'll help you with this message today. Because, folks, if you don't see this, you'll never amount to hill of being spiritual anyway. Lingering in the world. Why? Some reasons that Lot lingered in Sodom. First of all, he lingered in separation. In verse 1, we saw that here he is, just, righteous Lot, sitting in the gate with the Sodomites. And Lot knew the principle of separation. He knew that God called Abraham and said, Abraham, get out and I'll bless you. And that call is still the same today. Come out of the world, God says, and I'll bless you. But Lot was not separated from the world. Contrarywise, Lot separated himself from his uncle, his narrow-minded fundamentalist, Abraham, his uncle, who knew the blessing of God and was a friend of God and a great man of faith. He separated himself from Abraham. And what did he do? He went down from the hills and went down there and took his family and yoked up with the wicked sinners of Sodom. And the story of Lot ought to teach every member of Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church that you're going to lose, that you and your family are going to lose out spiritually if you don't separate yourself from the world. As 2 Corinthians 6, 17 and 18 says, wherefore come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing. And God says, when you come out of the world, then God says, I'll receive you. That means if you don't come out, you're not going to know the blessing of God. He says, then I'll be a father unto you if you'll come out. And then he says, you can be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. That's clear, isn't it? So I believe Lot lingered in separation. Then another thing, boy, here's where maturity comes in for a Christian. Lot never grew up because he wasn't separated. You will never be a mature, discerning Christian until you come out of the world, and then you can grow up and become a discerning Christian. Lot lingered in discernment. Discernment. Psalm 25:14 says, the secret of the Lord is with them that fear him. God shows his people things when they live close to him and stay in the book. And when they're born again and live in the book and live right, God leads his people and shows them a few things. And so the secret of the Lord is with them that fear him. Abraham was a man separated from the world and a man who walked with God. And God said, well, I've got to tell Abraham about this. I've got to tell Abraham about this. He said, before you go down to Sodom, go by and tell Abraham. Abraham, I'm going to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah. But now when they got down to the city, down out of the hills, they come up to Lot, and when they appeared on the scene there in Sodom, old Lot was out of touch with God, and old Lot didn't have the foggiest notion that Sodom had no tomorrow. They told Lot that this was Sodom's last night. Sodom was about to go to hell. And it amazes me. The more I've studied this, the more I'm amazed that Lot would linger in a city with the kiss of death on it. And folks, this old world's coming unraveled this morning, isn't it? And our homes are collapsing. Ungodliness on every hand. I believe the Lord is coming soon. And I believe it's upon us. But listen, if the Lord delays his coming a little while, just as certain as these two angels said Sodom was going to go up in smoke tomorrow, just listen, folks, listen to me now. Just as certain as those two angels brought the death message, the death warrant in their pocket to Sodom, I can tell you on the authority of the Word of God that everything you have and everything you see this morning, everything outside, your homes, our cities, our great industrial areas, everything you see is not only going to go up in smoke someday, it's going to be completely destroyed. That's why you ought to come out of the world and live for God. It's all going to go up in smoke someday. And all that's really going to count is what you've done for Jesus Christ. Turn over to 2 Peter chapter 3 for just a moment. We're going to come back. Now keep your place and start to say Sodom 19, but Genesis 19 there. Page 1319, 2 Peter chapter 3. Verse 10. I want you to see this. Folks, we need to understand this thing's going to come to an end someday and going to go up in a puff. Well, if you don't see that this thing's gone. The world's a goner. The world's gone. Headed for destruction. All that you're going to have is what you send on to the other side. Verse 10. 2 Peter 3, verse 10. But the day of the Lord will come. Wait a minute. Did you see? God's word said will come. As a thief in the night. And the day of the Lord is talking about when God judges this world. In the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise. A lot of people talk about the big bang of creation. I don't believe a word of the big bang of creation, but I believe in the big bang of destruction of this world. That's the only big bang the word of God teaches, is God's going to destroy this world, the big bang. There's such thing as creation, big bang. But anyway, it's going to pass away with a great bang, a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Seeing then, folks, notice that. Seeing then that this world is going to be destroyed, seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought you to be in all holy conversation and godliness, looking for and hasting unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be, folks, dissolved. And the elements shall melt with fervent heat. So as we can see here in verse 11, all these things shall be dissolved. Revelation 20 verse 11 says that one day the heavens and the earth are just going to flee away. I mean, one day it's just going to vanish. Everything you see around here. Yet, knowing this, we're a whole lot like Lot, aren't we? We're lingering in this old world. We're yoked up with a world that's headed for destruction. And the thing is, most Christians today don't have any spiritual discernment enough to know that. God give us Holy Ghost discernment. Preacher, how do you get Holy Ghost discernment? How do you get where you can think spiritually and see things as God sees them? That's what discernment, Holy Ghost discernment, just seeing things like God sees them. How do we get it? First of all, get born again. Then second, come out of the world and live right and get into the Word and feed your heart, mind, and soul on the Word. And brother, you can have some Holy Ghost discernment. Then another thing. It's not going to get any better, folks. But it's going to help you. This is medicine old Dr. Lashley's prescribed and dishing out today, and it'll help you. Don't leave me now. If anybody gets up and leaves on this next point, we know you're not sick. So you better hold on this one. Old Lot lingered in Sodom. We can go back to Genesis 19 now. Old Lot lingered in Sodom, I believe, he lingered in Sodom because he lingered in standards. I said standards. I said standards. Some of you don't know what that is, do you? Huh? Some of you forgot that word, haven't you? It's still in the Bible. It still works. Standards, it still works. And those homosexuals in Sodom came to Lot's door, wanting these two angels. And Lot said, fellas, wait a minute. This is preposterous. I just can't understand this. I can't understand this. Old Lot said, hey, fellas, out there. He said, wait a minute, hold it. He said, don't touch these two men. He said, I have two daughters that have never known men. I'll just bring them out to you. Isn't that, look at verse 8. Behold now, Lot talking. I have two daughters which have not known man. Let me, I pray you, bring them out unto you, and do ye to them as is good in your eyes, only unto these men do nothing. For therefore came they under the shadow of my roof. Old Lot said, let's make a deal. If you'll just shut up and just hold it down out here. And he said, leave these two men alone. I'll give you my two daughters. You can do what you want to them. You say, brother, we wouldn't do that, a thing like that today. Yeah, we do things like that today. Many of us are doing the very same thing because we're lingering in our standards. Lingering in our standards. We let our girls and our wives dress half naked, go around with slit skirts all the way up their hip, slit down front all the way to their belly button, and these little short skirts on. They've been trying to get you ladies and girls in short skirts for a long time. So far they hadn't succeeded, except a few won't run ahead of the fashions, you know. Ladies, listen, girls, for God's sake, don't dress like the Sodomites. And you men, bless your heart, don't you look like a Sodomite. I mean, get you a haircut. See that your sons get a haircut. And you things, sweet things, with these earrings, you men. Oh, we feel like coming around kissing you sometime. There's a boy, the other son here, had a big old earring. I mean, it was yay long on him. Folks, let's not ape the world. Let's don't look like Sodomites around Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church. Amen?
Amen.
And you know, I was just thinking too that a lot of times when we want to breed our dogs or cats or cows, we only use first class stuff when we want to breed our animals. And yet we let our girls jump into the car with any sorry character that comes down the pike. We ought to have some standards. We ought to have some standards. Then we let our children run to Hollywood movies and see the hellish Hollywood movies and hellish videos that can do nothing but destroy them spiritually. And then, I'm not through now. I'm not through. You can keep on listening. I'm not through. The show's not over. Show's not over. Then when prom time's going to be coming around for, I'm going to get in my greetings to the prom crowd while I'm at it. If I'm going to be a man of God, I've got to tell you what's right and what's wrong before heaven. Prom time will be around. Save moms and dads don't have enough spiritual backbone to say you're not going to the prom as long as you're in this house. But you know, you've got to let them go. You don't want to hurt their little personality. You don't want to rob them spiritually. You let them go to the dance, and they'll dance their way to hell. Parents, you better listen to your preacher. You say, well, you run people off, preacher, preaching like that. I've been preaching it for 26 and a half years. Have the largest fundamental church in any direction for 100 miles. The crowd we've kept wants this kind of preaching. There's other preachers all around. If you don't want to hear this kind, if you don't want what thus saith the Lord, then I can encourage you. I'll tell you some nice, sweet things you can go to that won't preach against sin. But folks, there's a holy God in heaven you're going to face someday. And I want you to have the blessing of, I want our families to know the blessing of God on their lives. And parents, if we don't set some holy, godly standards in our homes, we're going to lose our sons and daughters to the Sodomites of this world. Brother, you better set some standards for survival's sake around your home. Well, I persecuted you there. Let me flee to another point and persecute you a little while longer to another point. But Lot lingered. See, now what I'm giving you this morning is why Lot lingered in Sodom. He had that worldly spirit. Also, Lot lingered in worldly associations. I don't have time to go into that. Old Lot felt right at home with that crowd, that bunch of queers and homosexuals and lesbians. He had close association with them. He was successful politically among them. He didn't upset their apple cart. He went by every now and then and said, "How you doing, honey?" And he got along well, that crowd. Why? Because he had no principles or convictions. That's why he got along with them. And a born-again Christian ought to feel out of place in the world. And if you can run around and hobnob with the world and feel right at home, you may be saved, but something's wrong and you're out of touch with God. Something's drastically wrong. He lingered in his worldly associations, and his two daughters married sodomites? Are you lingering in your worldly associations? I'll guarantee you, if you're lingering in your worldly associations, it's getting mighty quiet around here, but I'm going to keep on preaching the truth. If you're lingering in your worldly associations, it'll take its toll in your family and in your children. You just wait. You say, preacher, you're narrow-minded. That's okay. You come back in a few years. You say, preacher, you told the truth. You told the truth. I know what I'm talking about. I'm not still wet behind it. I've been preaching enough to know this doctrine I'm preaching works. It works. Then another thing, Lot lingered in obedience to the word of God. God sent word to Lot. Lot, hurry up, Lot. Leave. Get out of Sodom. I'm going to destroy Sodom. In verse 15, the Bible says the angels hastened Lot. Lot, hurry up. Lot, get out of here. And yet, he lingered. He lingered in verse 16. And then in verse 17, look what happened. And it came to pass, when they had brought them forth abroad, that he said, escape for thy life. Look not behind, neither stay thou in all the plain. Escape to the mountain, lest thou be consumed. He lingered in what God clearly told him to do. Now, just like Lot, there are some of us today who are lingering in our obedience to the Word of God and to the will of God for our lives. You've been maybe saved, but you're lingering in obeying the Lord in baptism. The Bible plainly teaches that the first step of obedience after you get saved is to follow the Lord in baptism. And you're lingering in the area of baptism today. And then you're maybe lingering in this matter of tithing. God's word is clear. One-tenth of our income belongs to the Lord. Yet we're lingering in doing the will of God. And then you're lingering maybe in church attendance. Some of you, you'll get enough tonight to do you, this morning to do you. You won't have to come back tonight. Or won't have to come back Wednesday night. You might come back next Sunday if it's convenient. Or if it doesn't interfere with other plans that you have. But God's word says clearly in Hebrews 10, not forsaking the assembling of yourselves together, as the manner of some is, and so much the more as ye see the day approaching. Then, that is, as we get closer to the coming of the Lord, you ought to come to church more. Folks, let me give you some advice, parents. You ought to have your family here every time the door opens. And God will bless you if you do that. A little different, Brother Sandy, than it was last Sunday, but this is good stuff today, though. It's good stuff. Now, I love you folks. The reason I'm preaching this way to you. You know what? You say, preacher, why do you preach that way? God called me to preach many years ago. And I preach to please God. I want to help man and please God. That's what I'm trying to do. And when I stand up here, I preach without fear or favor. You say, preacher, I will run you off. Go ahead. God called me to preach anyway. If he can't take care of me, I'm in bad shape anyway. Now, some of you have never been saved. And you, if you were to die right now, you would die without Christ. And you're lingering in your salvation. The Bible says, now is accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. You know, I preach all day on this topic. There's so much more that I could bring out. Lot looked down at Sodom. He had wrong priorities. He lived in Sodom. He had wrong associations with a worldly, ungodly crowd that was destined for judgment. He lingered in Sodom, even though the kiss of death, the divine kiss of death, had already been pronounced on Sodom. Why? Because his heart was in the world and he was earthbound. Folks, let's don't get our heart earthbound to this old world. Let's keep looking up above. Let's set our affections on things above and not things below. But one last thing, and then we'll be through. He lost everything in Sodom. He lost his testimony. They mocked him when he said, God is going to destroy the city. Ha! Who are you? Who are you to talk? And he lost his sons-in-law. He lost everything he had in this world. And he lost his wife. She turned a pillar of salt. And then later on, he lost his daughters. In the last six verses, don't even turn to them. We don't have time to turn to them. But we see as the sad chapter of Lot's life closes, Lot his daughters got him drunk. And one night, he committed immorality with one daughter. And the next night, he committed immorality with the second daughter. And both of Lot's daughters bore him an illegitimate child. Lot lingered, and he lost everything he had. Christian, listen to you, Pastor. If you could see in my heart today, I'm wanting to help you. Now, I'm not trying to preach against you or anything like that. I'm preaching for you. I'm for you. The best friend you ever had is a preacher that'll stand up and put it all on the line and tell you the truth. And in my heart, Christian, I want to help you. If you linger in this world, you will suffer loss. I ask you to come out of the world so you can know God's blessing and God's presence and God's power. An unsaved friend, if you linger on in this world without Jesus Christ, you're going to suffer eternal loss. Eternal loss. Come to Jesus. The door of mercy is open. Judgment is coming on this old world. Come to Jesus before it's too late. Let's bow our heads for prayer. Every head bowed and every eye closed for just a moment. Now, folks, I know that was a hard message, but I preached it with concern and love in my heart for you. Not to get on you, but to help you. I hope you'll take it in that way. But if you don't, that's between you and God. But Christian, you'll never know the blessing and power of God in your life till you come out of the world. Maybe you are a defeated Christian today because you are still entangled. You're yoked up with the world. You ought to decide, I'm going God's way at my home, in my life. I'm going God's way. You ought to get right with the Lord. And you ought to come and rededicate your life to the Lord. And parents, let's set standards in our homes. That's the only way we'll lose our children unless there's standards set. The only hope our children have is that we'll have some godly standards and set a godly example for them in the home. And then if you're unsaved, don't linger in this world that's under the curse of God. One day the world's going to be burned with a fervent heat. Where will you be when the world's on fire without Jesus Christ? Oh, my loving brother, when the world's on fire, don't you want God's bosom for to be your pillow? Oh, hide me over in the rock of ages, cleft for me. How many will say this morning, Brother Lashley, I am glad that I'm saved, and God knows my heart, and I want the blessing of God in my life. I want to live for Jesus Christ. I'm saved, and I want to live for Him, and I want to know His blessing in my life. Let me see your hand. If you desire God's blessing in your life, just raise your hand. You've been saved. Okay, put your hands down. Maybe some of you are saved today, but you say, Preacher, I don't have the blessing of God in my life. I'm walking far from God. But I do want to know God's power and God's blessing and God's presence and God's help in my life. Oh, listen, come and put everything on the altar. Say, Lord, I'm surrendering everything to you. And you can know God's help if you're saved. God will bless you. You'll just mean business for it. Or maybe you're not saved and you say, Preacher, I need to be saved. God's spoken to my heart. There's a desire in my heart to get saved. Whatever the need is, Preacher, pray for me. You're not saved, or you need to join the church, or you need to rededicate your life, or some special need. Preacher, pray for me all over the house. Just slip your hand up right now. Let me pray for you. Someone like that, Preacher? Yes, God bless you, ma'am. Anyone else? Anyone else? Yes, God bless you. Anyone else? Anyone else? Raise your hand. Let me pray for you. anyone else, preacher, pray for me. Oh, listen, this old world's going to be destroyed. You're going to lose everything. All you're going to save is what you do for Jesus Christ and what you sent on to the other side. Anyone else, pray for me, preacher. Anyone else, pray for me. Yes, God bless you over here. Yes, God bless you over here. God bless you, son. Thank God. I was saved when I was about the age of those two boys. Boys, you ought to come in a few minutes and get in this altar and get saved and get right, rededicate your life. Anyone else, pray for me, preacher. I want to know God's power in my life. I want to know God's presence. Folks, are you going to go on the rest of your days on this earth far from God without the presence of God and the help of God and the blessing of God? Oh, come and put everything on the altar and come over into Canaan's land. Come out of the wilderness of defeat and come over into the Canaan land of blessing. Anyone else? Right before we pray. Anyone else? God bless you. Now, God bless you. Anyone else? Anyone else? Let's let God have his way today. Anyone else? Father, we thank you today for this privilege of coming to thee in prayer. Lord, I've tried to preach your word and be honest before God and man today. Lord, I pray that these dear people would see. Lord, this preacher was just trying to deliver a message from heaven that God wants.